Chapter 11. Payden. Silence is the only sound for the remainder of the ride, leaving the window beside me to be my only source of entertainment. We pass dozens of streets crowded with smiling strangers, all waving and gawking. Some cheer and run next to the coach as we pass, trying to get a glimpse of us before we roll away to our dooms. As we get closer to the palace, the houses grow larger, finer, and the streets are no longer riddled with homeless shuffling about. I spot the tips of the daunting towers before the whole daunting palace comes into view below them. It's huge. Even with its gray stone and cold exterior, it's breathtaking. Grassy hills and vibrant gardens filled with brightly colored flowers I didn't even know existed surround the castle walls, softening the intimidating structure. I hear the clopping of hooves hammering against smooth stone as we head into a courtyard, passing a large fountain residing in the center with white statues scattered around its perimeter. When the coach finally slows to a stop, I peek through the window to see a large stone staircase leading into the palace, surrounded by beds of flowers. The Imperials hop from their cushioned perch and open the doors to the coach, allowing warm sunlight to pour into our small compartment. I practically tumble out in my hurry to escape the cramped coach and the company inside. Once my feet are on solid ground again and swallowed by open air, I take a deep breath, inhaling the sweet scent of flowers and sunshine. The other two stumble out to stand beside me, both wide-eyed and staring. A voice startles us from our gawking when the red-haired Imperial clears his throat and says, "Follow me." We follow up the stone steps behind him, passing dozens of Imperials lining the staircase. When we reach the top, two more guards step out and join the redhead leading us before walking through the giant doors. If the outside was beautiful, it pales in comparison to this. Every wall is ornately decorated with glittering paintings and intricate molding that climbs up the walls and clings to the ceiling. Everything is dazzlingly white with the occasional pop of emerald that dots the hallways we trudge down, showcasing Ilya's kingdom color. I'm too mesmerized by the sheer size and beauty of this place to even realize that the redhead is speaking to the three of us. "Rooms are this way, in the east wing of the palace." He gestures to the many hallways that I'm assuming are filled with equally embellished rooms. He suddenly spins on his heel to turn and face us, forcing me to skid to a stop before I nearly crash into his chest. "The next 2 weeks will consist of training, meeting the other contestants, interviews, and the first ball. And every week between each trial, we'll follow the same routine. An Imperial will be assigned to you for the remainder of your stay here, and they will escort you to and from anywhere you need to be until you are acquainted with the castle." One of the Imperials standing behind us moves beside Hera, while the other takes his place next to Ace. "Well," the young Imperial claps his hands in front of him with a sigh. "We will show you to your rooms and let you get situated." When Hera and Ace have rounded the corner at the end of the hall, I turn to my personal Imperial. "So, you'll be keeping an eye on me then?" "Lucky me," he chuckles and turns, motioning for me to follow. "I'm Lenny, by the way." I never thought I'd say this to an Imperial, but it's nice to meet you, Lenny. Clamping my mouth shut before anything else I shouldn't be saying spews out, I pick up my pace and try to catch up with his long strides. "Yeah, well, I don't blame you. Most Imperials can be..." He rubs the back of his neck, searching for the right word. "Pigs?" I mutter before I can think better of it. He cuts off his laugh with a quick clearing of his throat. "Yeah, they have me do a lot of the talking around here. I guess I'm not as intimidating." I swiftly look him up and down, unable to help but agree. His messy red hair, combined with the explosion of freckles splattering out from under his mask, diminish any hope of looking threatening. He stops in front of a door near the end of a long hallway before pushing it open and gesturing inside. I bite my tongue to keep from gasping at the sight of the most beautiful room I've ever seen, filled with bookcases, a dainty vanity, a writing desk, and a bed. An enormous bed. After sleeping on jagged cobblestones for 5 years, the thought of getting to sleep on that is overwhelming. I blink in amazement as I finally take a step inside. The carpet is plush beneath my feet, and I spin to see a bathroom peeking out behind a door to the left. I stride towards it, fighting my smile when I see a pristine porcelain bathtub sitting atop golden legs. Hot, running water. An equally shiny toilet and sink sit on the white marble floor to complete the set. I slowly step out of the bathroom, still staring at the bedroom before me. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see Lenny watching me, amused by my awe.
I hope you find your room to be satisfactory.
Oh, it'll have to do, I suppose. I plop onto my bed as I say it, sarcasm dripping from the words.
Well, I'll let you get comfortable, seeing that you'll be spending a lot of time in here, he says, turning to step out the door.
What do you mean by that? He rubs his hand over the back of his neck with a sigh.
You'll find out soon enough.
Lenny was right to tell me to get comfortable. I've been trapped in this room for 2 days. It's become my personal gilded cage, locking me in with luxuries. The guards stationed outside my door don't deem me important enough to grumble more than a few words about following orders by keeping me confined to my room. So I've scoured every inch of the chamber, occupying myself by thumbing through books, soaking in hot baths, devouring delicious meals. And yet, I've never felt more anxious. The inside of my cheek is sore, the result of incessant biting in an attempt to calm my nerves. And despite sleeping in a soft bed for the first time in years, I'm restless. I haven't spoken to anyone since my first day here, haven't even been told what the hell is going on. I've been left to pace the padded floor, worrying over who my opponents are and what they can do. Mind games. That's what this is. The king likely finds this comical, loves the idea of us anxious, restless, and trapped in our rooms until he says otherwise. This is meant to set us on edge, make us antsy. A knock at the door has me pausing my pacing. Lenny's head peeks around the doorframe, a sheepish grin on his face.
So, how are you, Payden?
I blink at him. How am I? How am I? He creeps farther into the room, his next words slow.
Okay, so I'm getting the feeling that you're not great.
My laugh is bitter. You could say that. It's been 2 days. Where the hell have you been?
The king likes to keep the contestants completely isolated for the first couple of days, he says stiffly. But good news, you'll be having dinner tonight with the other contestants, along with the king and queen.
I swallow. After 48 restless hours, I'm suddenly going to meet the contestants that have plagued my thoughts, and the king who has plagued my nightmares.
I'll be back shortly to escort you to dinner, Lenny says, turning towards the door. If you need anything, just holler. I won't be far.
Oh, he glances at me over his shoulder.
And you might want to change before dinner.
When he's gone, I slip into the bathroom and fiddle with the various knobs on the tub until hot, steaming water begins pouring out. Within minutes, I'm stripped and soaking in the now foamy water, thanks to the unnecessary amount of soaps and salts I dumped in. I scrub my hair and body vigorously, leaving my skin red and refreshed. I haven't felt so clean in years. My mind wanders to my many worries, the warm water doing little to soothe me. The trials consume my thoughts, reminding me of the power I lack and the little protection I possess. Not to mention that if the trials don't kill me, being discovered as an ordinary most definitely will. I soak in the bubbly water until it grows cold, like the baths I'm so used to. When I finally muster the strength to force myself out of the tub, I'm shivering as I slip on a green silk robe. I make my way back into my room, opening the white doors of the giant wardrobe across from my bed to stare at the dozens of colors and patterns all hung neatly on a rack. Attire for every type of occasion is casually hanging there, all at my disposal. Adina would die if she saw this. I stare blankly at the clothes, then down at my ratty ones lying forgotten on the floor.
I haven't the slightest idea of what is appropriate to wear to this dinner, and I would rather not make a fool out of myself before the trials have even begun. Remembering that Lenny said to holler if I needed anything, I intend to do just that. I'm sure the Imperial has witnessed several of these meals and will have some idea of what the expected attire is. I stride to the door and wrench it open, looking down as I tighten the tie of my robe. I do, in fact, holler, "Lenny, what the hell am I supposed to wear?" And then I look up. My eyes meet wide, bright green ones. I've never seen the man standing before me. I would have remembered. His messy, dirty blonde hair looks slightly damp, as if he too just got out of the bath. He is simultaneously strong, yet delicate features, with his straight nose and soft lips. His hand is raised, still posed to knock on my door. He recovers faster than I do. "Wardrobe problems?" His mouth twists into a playful grin, and something about it seems so familiar, and yet not at all. "Clearly," I say with a small smile. His eyes quickly sweep over me, and only then do I remember that I'm wearing a robe. I pull it tighter around myself, fighting my flush. He clears his throat. "Well, no need to worry. Your maid, Ellie, will be in soon to help you dress and prepare for dinner." He speaks with the air of authority, as though he's used to giving orders. Despite his plain clothes, slim black trousers and a tighter green shirt that shows off his lean figure, I know right away that this man is no servant. A contestant? At the thought of having a maid wait on me, I quickly say, "That won't be necessary. I can take care of myself, thank you." His gaze travels from my still dripping and tangled hair to the silk robe I clutch closed. "Clearly," he says, mimicking my response to him only moments ago with that oddly familiar grin on his face. I look down at myself and nearly laugh. "Okay, perhaps a maid will be necessary after all." He laughs softly before gesturing to the room behind me. "I just stopped by to see if everything was adequate." I find myself almost laughing once again. If this is adequate, I can't even imagine what is considered exquisite around here. His eyes search mine. "Then remind me to show you the garden sometime." He offers me a nod. "I look forward to seeing you at dinner, Payden." I blink at him. "Strange," I say slowly. "I don't remember telling you my name." "Oh, you didn't need to." That crooked grin is teasing his lips once again. "I make it my business to know all the pretty girls who save my little brother." "Plagues, he's..." "I'm Kit, by the way." He flashes me a grin before turning to stride down the hallway, leaving me shocked and staring. Prince Kit. As in, future King of Ilia Kit. What is it with me running into royals? I had never seen the future king before, and I definitely never thought I'd meet him in a robe. He's the heir to the throne, the next ruler who is ready to follow in his vile father's footsteps. Between him and his brother... his brother. That's why his smile looks so familiar. I've seen a variation of it on the other prince's face, though Kit's was bright and boyish, while Kai's was cockier, colder. I watch as a small, dark-haired girl steps shyly up to my room with a timid smile tipping her lips.
"Good evening, miss. I'll be your maid while you're here at the palace, and I'll assist you with anything you may need."
Her voice is soft and delicate, but her rehearsed words are steady. "Please, call me Payden." She looks at me warily, but I press on. "Plagues, a couple days ago I was sleeping in some garbage, so trust me when I say you shouldn't call me miss." She fights a laugh at that, nodding slowly in agreement. "Great," I sigh. "Now that's settled, can you help me figure out what it is I'm supposed to wear tonight?" She smiles shyly at me, looking relieved. "That, I think I can help with." We spend the next half hour filtering through outfits before settling on something relatively plain by the palace's standards, though it's still the nicest thing I've ever worn. With half the wardrobe emptied onto the floor, We've decided on a pair of shiny black leggings paired with a silky dark green blouse. It's relatively low with drooping sleeves I already know will be accidentally dipped in food. I slip a small dagger into the back band of my pants, and the flat blade against my back is cool and comforting. After lacing up high boots, Ellie motions me over to the vanity, where she begins playing with my hair, trying to make the damp mop look presentable.
So, she clears her throat and tries again. So, Peyton,
she emphasizes my name with a small smile.
Do you have any idea what the trials will be like?
Not a clue. I give her a pleading smile through the mirror. I was hoping you would, though, seeing that I'm sure you overhear a lot in the palace. Her next words are a little more than a murmur.
All I know is that this year is supposed to be different.
Different? I echo. In what way? She shrugs, fistfuls of my hair grasped in her hands.
I don't know. Just different somehow.
I struggle to see how a trial could be different, seeing that each one is as bloody and brutal as the last. But the little information makes me feel even more unprepared for what is to come, and I try not to dwell on the unease curling in my gut. Ellie soon gives up on my hair with a huff, deciding to let it lie limply down my back. She then adds powder to my face, before smearing a bit of black onto my lashes.
There,
she says, studying me.
No more looking like you slept in garbage.
I snort. Plagues, aren't you coming out of your shell? She reddens before a knock on the door has her scurrying up to answer it. Lenny looks down at her and smiles, only causing her flush to deepen. Ready to go, Peyton? He drags his eyes from Ellie to meet mine. When I meet him in the hallway, we begin our walk down the intricately decorated halls. As we zigzag through the maze that is the castle, I try my best to make a mental map of the layout. One left, two rights, another left. We are soon back in the large entry hallway that stretches to the even larger doors we first entered through 2 days ago. Lenny leads me to another pair of floor-to-ceiling doors a little farther down the wide corridor as he murmurs, "The throne room. This is where you'll be having your meals with the other contestants." Before I have a chance to spout off questions, he nods to the guards standing nearby, silently ordering them to push open the looming door. At first, no one seems to notice me. They're all sitting around a long wooden table at the center of the marble floor, so at odds with the delicate beauty of the throne room. As for the elite surrounding it, they talk comfortably to one another, seeing that many of them likely grew up together. I take a deep breath and begin walking slowly towards the table. 8 pairs of eyes flick in my direction, looking me up and down as I make my way over to them.
Of course, I'm the last one to show up.
I pull out a chair at the end of the table next to Ace, reluctant to sit beside him, but relieved to be seated so everyone can stop staring. Except that they don't. I feel their gazes and look up, unable to stop words from tumbling out of my mouth. So, what's for dinner? I let out a sigh of relief when the girl sitting on the other side of Ace snorts and leans over the table to look at me. Her bob of wine-red hair shines in the late afternoon sunlight streaming through the window, competing with the shiny silver hoop in her nose. I keep asking the same question. Her honey eyes seem to glitter with mischief. I'm Andy. Peyton, I say, offering her a small smile.
Well, if we're making introductions,
a deep voice carries from the other end of the table.
I'm Braxton.
I look up to see a huge, dark-skinned boy tipping his head towards me. Brawny. I nod at him as a higher male voice calls out,
I'm Jax.
I look down the table at him, taking in his shy smile. Names are now being shouted across the table. Other than Hera and Ace, who came from the slums, it's obvious that everyone else is well acquainted.
I'm Sadie.
I turn towards the voice to see a girl with warm skin studying me. Her stare is assessing, curious. The girl beside her tips her chin up and clears her throat, drawing my attention her way.
Blair, pleasure to meet you, Peyton.
She spits out the words like they leave a vile taste in her mouth, all while looking down at me like I'm something sticky on the bottom of her boot. I get the immediate impression that this girl wants nothing to do with mundanes, let alone anyone who calls the slums their home. Her lilac hair spills over her shoulders, contrasting against the brown eyes glaring at me. She's stunning, yet startlingly cold.
The pleasure is all mine, Blair, I say coolly.
The hungry look in her eyes makes me feel as if I'm going to be her next meal. And then, a deep and annoyingly amused voice comes from the end of the table, directly across from me.
And I'm Kai. But you already knew that.